Hello, everybody. This is Basma Farhad on the People Speak Radio Show, along with my co-host John Neal and our board operator, Carrie Minaj, who's working in the background. Please join us on Pal Talk by going to www.paltalk.com and downloading and installing the free software. Or you can also listen to us on CWRN at www.cosmicwavesradio.com. Our guest tonight, Ron Kovic, whose life story was portrayed in the film Born on the 4th of July by Tom Cruise, unfortunately will not be with us tonight due to the passing of his mother. We here at The People Speak send our deepest condolences to Ron and his family. Our thoughts are with you, Ron. But we are honored to have Frank Cavastani, the film producer who documented Ron's sojourn from Los Angeles to Miami back in the 1970s in a film called Operation Last Patrol. We'll be right back after these public service announcements with Frank Cavastani about that and much more right after these announcements.
The People Speak Radio Show is being broadcast over a shoutcast stream at CosmicWavesRadio.com. That's CosmicWavesRadio, one word, .com. It is also being broadcast in an interactive audio chat room at PalTalk, www.paltalk.com.
This is Chevy Chase. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, used illegal weapons and targeted civilians. Let's get them out of here. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Here we are tonight. The People Speak with our guest, Frank Cavastani, who documented the journey of Ron Kovic, a documentary called Operation Last Patrol. Hello, Frank. How are you?
How are you doing? Yes, and bless Ron and his family tonight, and sorry he can't be with us. But when I first met Ron, I didn't know I was about to step into this whirlwind of someone called Ron Kovic, this poet, politician, political person at least, and this ex-soldier. He was manning the phones trying to put together a demonstration that was prepared to take Vietnam veterans from Southern California all the way across the United States in 5 days and protest Nixon's convention, Republican convention in 1972. What you see at the end of a movie called Born on the 4th of July, as I was trying to tell people who didn't see it and you, Basma, the movie Born on the 4th of July, Ron's book ends in Mexico, and the last part of that movie, which is the Republican convention in 1972, where about 2,500 Vietnam veterans and 4,000 or 5,000 other people demonstrated against the Vietnam War, was photographed by me, and I followed Ron Kovic because I knew instantly that this person had something to say to the world. As we all know, he's probably one of the most famous Vietnam veterans around, and it's amazing to listen to speak to this day. I went last about 3 or 4 months ago. He spoke at the beach in Santa Monica, and he's such a marvelous speaker. I don't know if anyone's heard him speak recently, but he could really hold his own anywhere in the world with even the likes of someone like Martin Luther King. He's just a profound speaker. When I made this film, I listened to him continually in the editing room and never got bored for a minute of what things he had to say. So the movie, Operation Last Patrol, can be gotten at any of the places, normal places, Netflix, Amazon.com, or Dock Workers, or if you go in and you look up Born on the 4th of July, you usually find a connection with that, too.
Right.
So that's my experience with Ron, and I wish he was with us tonight.
So do we, but of course we do understand, and again, our condolences to you, Rod. Frank, I mean, first
people
of all,
call me Ron.
People call you Ron?
Yeah, we became fast friends after that. He wrote the book after I made my film about him, and he saw that, and he said, told me he was going to write a book. And at the time, I was living in the Chelsea Hotel, and he came in with another veteran fellow. I can't think of his name by now, but it was, I think his name was, I can't think of it now, but it doesn't matter. Ron came in with these pages of coffee-stained pages written on the sides, written on the top, written on the back, and started reading me what later became his book that he had, by hand and by typewriter, done on an apartment here in Venice, California. He later went to a publishing company, and they did publish it, and the rest is history, of course. It became a very well-read book and made Ron very famous. And, of course, years later, they started to work on the movie. Many people don't know, but the original movie was going to star Al Pacino. I bet you don't know that.
Interesting. Fascinating. Frank, let me ask you. You and Ron, did you actually know each other prior to the events of the movie?
No, we didn't. A woman came to me named Catherine Leroy and said she wanted to make a documentary about something her Marine boyfriend was doing. Catherine was rather a famous photographer from Vietnam. She had jumped in with the 179th Airborne. She received a sort of benevolent kind of Purple Heart for doing that. I think she got some wounds. She was a French photojournalist. Her photographs are very famous. There's a photograph from Vietnam where the Marine at Wei is looking up, and he's talking over a body of his partner. He looks like he's screaming. That's her photograph. The photographs of the NVA behind the lines, the first pictures of the NVA were on Life magazine, and I think maybe Time, cover of Time magazine, were her pictures. She actually got captured for a while. So she wanted to make this film, and I had a film company at the time, and I was making documentaries with a company called TVTV, with a fellow named Michael Schamberg, who's become a rather famous producer now. He's got a company called Jersey Films, and he works with Danny DeVito, and he made Get Shorty and all those other movies with Travolta, like that, Pulp Fiction. So we were making documentaries. So I said, yes, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I wanted to do something. Ever since I came back from Vietnam, I wanted to do something to stop the war, because I knew when I was in Vietnam that the war was wrong, and I could sense it even as a soldier that this was a mistake. These people were involved in what seemed to me a civil war, didn't want us there, and we were doing no good at all. Almost identical, by the way, to what's happening again in Iraq.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask you. How do you think a film such as Operation Last Patrol, a documentary done in a whole other world, in a whole other lifetime, relates to the war in Iraq and the impending escalation of these kinds of wars?
Well, the thing is that it's very similar, and you hear the young the veterans just back from Vietnam talking about it. There's a similarity in so many points because it's a war that was misguidedly started into, and our government thinking they were doing one thing when they wanted to do something else. Mm-hmm. It was based on the premise that a propped up government was the South Vietnamese government was going to be able one day to take over the war and defeat the other side, and the fact that the veterans there were being used, and there was no victory in sight, and that the war was going to end badly for the American people. So there's a lot of similar things involved here, and if you see the film, it's amazing. I mean, I'm only talking a few points. I know Oliver Stone was kind enough to give me a quote that I put on it, and he said the same thing. He said it's amazing how Frank Cavastani's film and the things the veterans are saying are so similar to what's happening today in Iraq. And I think if the people can see that, I think one of the big differences today is, and I know that your show, I think, is going to have some of the people from the Iraq Veterans Against the War on at some point.
We already have. Tim Goodrich.
Yeah, I did a benefit for those guys too, because when this film was re-released in November on DVD, I wanted to involve the Iraq Veterans Against the War because I felt it was so important that we support them. The difference being, though, and it's a very, very big difference, is when we came back, we were all, most of us, were draftees.
Mm-hmm.
And we really were sort of angry. Also, we were had intelligence, and I mean information, from being there, and wanted the war stopped because we saw it doing no good for America, and also not necessary to kill all these people. I mean, after Vietnam changed hands and went to the nationalistic, socialistic government from the north, San Francisco and Hawaii did not fall to the Vietnamese people or communists.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very misguided in that sense. I mean, but I can almost understand more so then than now how people thought, relating to the domino theory, that, you know, if what they called Indochina fell to the communists, blah, 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 you know, the rest of Southeast Asia was going to go, and they had the previous Korean War for an example. But that was not the case, and they should have taken it on an individual basis, because if they really got into the information and intelligence about Ho Chi Minh, they wouldn't have made that mistake. So again, they were lied to. Oh, that's another reason that's similar. That with the Tonkin Gulf affair and the lies that were told to get us into the war, the similar thing was told with WMD in this war. So it's another big, similar thing that's involved.
Exactly.
Ho Chi Minh was a big America file. I don't know if you know that. He loved America. And he had made a deal with the OSS and subsequently somewhat the CIA to, and he had written Truman a few times and said, I'll give you Tamron Bay.
That I recall.
Peace. Yeah, he wanted to make peace with the Americans. He thought America, and you know, if you read the Vietnamese Constitution, it says, we the people in order to form a more perfect government. Begins just like our preamble to our Constitution.
Isn't that amazing?
It's amazing. And he says, just like the American people, I want to unite my people and have one country. And it's also, if these guys that went to Yale and Harvard, as I didn't, had studied history, they would have known that the Tonkins in the north and the Nguyen's in the south have been fighting for over 3,000 years. So that they were stepping into a war that no American diplomat or American services or money was going to change, and that we should stay out of it. And it's just, obviously, we see the same thing over there with Sunnis and Shiites that are arch enemies. What are we going to do about this? We can't settle that.
I mean, no one can settle that.
No, it's not even about Al-Qaeda anymore. By wiping out the structure that they have there for their own ill will or good reason, I've now released this hornet's nest that it's now our responsibility, as Colin Powell said. You buy it, you own it. You know, you break it, you own it. You know what I mean? Now
yeah.
We got to take care of this. And we destroyed this society. These poor people, they used to be able to go out and at least have an ice cream and coffee at night with their families. Now they're into this Lebanon, Beirut-type madness of being assassinated for being one way or the other. I mean, what misery we've caused.
The misery and the estimations of the death toll there.
Yeah, but that's why I feel bad about the American people. In our name, we've caused this misery to this Iraqi people, this society, where they don't have doctors, they don't have electricity, they don't have garbage collecting, they don't have a police force, they don't have banks. Yeah, I mean, it's horrible. We're putting democracy out, destroying these people's way of life, just their daily way of life, even if they're not political. I mean, if they're just shoemakers or, you know, running a hairdresser or whatever. I mean, that they don't have a way of life anymore because we're going to deliver them democracy. That's just so horrible. So, in a lot of ways, the film Operation Last Patrol, the documentary, is very inspirational because it says, wow, these young men stood up and they changed it because the war did end. From the people, the protesters in Washington and at the university did finally get the government to finally say, hey, you know, it doesn't matter if it falls apart, let it fall apart, and we just got to get out of there. Because when we got out of there, peace came. I know people that stayed, by the way. in Vietnam after, you know, that famous
after
day.
The war.
After the war, they stayed there, and the Vietnamese government didn't punish them or put them in jail. One of them was the fellow who ran an orphanage for children, who was an American. And on the last day, his brother worked for the U.S. government there, and he came by and he said, you know, you have to leave, you have to leave. He says, and when they play White Christmas on the radio, all the American civilians that work in Saigon have to go to the embassy, and they're going to take us out on a helicopter. He said, well, I'm not going. But he didn't go. And the day after all the Americans left, the Vietnamese captain came by, and a political operative, and they said, we know what you've been doing. You've been taking care of these orphans. Keep taking care of the orphans. No harm will come to you, and have a nice day. So he stayed there for months after the Vietnamese took off.
Well, again, this just goes to show people that, you know, it isn't necessarily what we're being told it is.
Oh.
You know, Frank, as a producer, an actor, cinematographer, editor, you wear many hats. You've also acted in numerous movies such as The American President, Apollo 13, A Few Good Men, who is one of my personal favorites, You Can't Handle the Truth. And, you know, don't you think that Wild Shades of Blue, Born on the 4th of July, who, by the way, is Oliver Stone's birthday, he was born on the 4th of July, how did, you know...
Oliver Stone, you mean Ron Kovic?
Oh, I thought it was Oliver Stone, too.
No, it's Tom Cruise. It's born on July 3rd, actually.
Oh, okay. Then I was misinformed.
Tom Cruise is born on July 3rd, and Ron Kovic was born on, July 4th, of course. But Oliver Stone, I don't know when his birthday is, but
Where do we got that? That's what they told us. They told us.
Well, that would be pretty amazing if all three of those people who made that movie were born of a day apart.
A little talk about an omen.
You asked me before about how did I know Ron. The strange thing is Ron Kovic, I, and Oliver were in Vietnam at the same time, but we did not know each other. We were there with, 500,000 other guys. But we were all there during that period of time and the Tet offensive and things like that.
I hear you were a couple of hellraisers, if nothing else.
Oh, I think back in the States, the movie became hellraisers. Ron, when he came back, was he's quite a calm man now. But we were all sort of angry when we came back, and I think all of you know why. I mean, I think we all put it to good place, but we were angry young men, all of us back then. And when we came back, I think we got in a little bit of trouble. I mean, Ron and I used to drink a lot more, and it's funny to drink with Ron because he's in a wheelchair, of course, and we used to get in a little bit of trouble. So I remember.
I can imagine you could use that to your advantage.
I remember getting into a fight with some guys who started a fight with us in a parking lot. We were trying to go see a movie. We were invited to a screening of American Hot Wax, and we did pretty good. You know, Ron was really strong. His upper body strength is amazing. So I just stood on the back of the wheelchair facing out, and he handled the other side, and no one could get near us. So
that's
pretty
hysterical. Ron, will you please take care of me? let me ask you, do you have any intentions or desires now to do a movie along the type of documentary that...
I always wanted to do a movie, and I've written it up, and I've entitled it, actually. It was The Man Who Loved His Country. I don't know if it's a good title or not. But basically what it's about was it's about a photojournalist that gets herself captured on purpose, and we basically, and I won't give you the whole story because, someone will rob it on me, but we begin to see the war from the other side of the Vietnamese War, and the Americans become the gray-green force like the Germans and Japanese were in all our old war movies, and they become hunted by them, this one American woman and this Vietnamese French captain. So he's part French and part Vietnamese. So I want to do it from that because I don't think America has really seen, and it would be beneficial for them to see now, the war from the other side, because these people have their act together. They had hospitals under there. They had schools under there. They had, you know...
Exactly. The same as Iraq, the same as Afghanistan, the same as all of these countries that we are destroying.
Yeah, and they were fighting at the time, and, you know, the hugest... I mean, if you could see the APCs and tanks wrapped in plastic as far as the eye could see at Cameron Bay, you would say... And I said it to myself, a beer in hand one night, looking at this stuff, saying, my God, we're a powerful country. What a... I mean, if we could... I mean, this is excess. You know what I mean? We're at war. This is non-used stuff. This is new stuff, ready to be used, wrapped in plastic like toys. As far as you could see, stretching into the whole bay, you know, in this huge, used area of where they had supplies, and saying, wow, we could fight this war forever. I mean, these people basically... were, you know, carrying a pack of grenades on their back and just rice, and they were holding us off. So it's amazing. It's just their willpower. And the reason they had that will is because they felt they were right and they wanted their own country.
Frank, are you angry now about what's happening in our country?
I am more angry now, believe it or not, than I was about the Vietnam War in a lot of ways, because there's no reason for this particular war. I mean, I understand going after an enemy like Al-Qaeda and things who want to perform these outlandish and insane criminal acts against innocent people, but I think the way to look at it is find out, you know, why these people are doing that, and you go after those particular people. I just read an article in the paper the other day, the Times, where the CIA is now stopping its specialized investigation of Osama bin Laden. They had a special force of about 12 people investigating him. They're dropping that. They think it's not necessary. It'll blend in with all the rest of the stuff they're doing. And basically, the whole effort to go after him and in Afghanistan, everything is being undermined by this war we got ourselves into, this mess we got ourselves into, this military mistake we got ourselves into, because we didn't like a guy who was so distant from those Muslim fanatics because he was a secular, scotch-drinking son of a bitch who, was an enemy of, actually, Al-Qaeda, because he was so different from him. And we go after him and get ourselves in his bind, which it turns out has more to do with causing an imperialistic presidency than it is to do with protecting Americans, you know.
Well, it is amazing. It is truly amazing. And one of the most amazing things that I've found since all of this started was when our President Bush recently said that Osama bin Laden didn't matter. You know, we're going to take a break right now, Frank, and we'll be right back, everyone. You're here on The People Speak with Frank Cavastani, film producer, extraordinaire, actor, peace activist. We'll be right back.
In America, most of us have the basics we need to survive. But there are millions of children all over the world who don't. Children who must work instead of going to school. Children who are forced to fight as child soldiers. Children who can't have an ordinary childhood because they lack health care, clean water, or good nutrition. For these children, there is UNICEF. UNICEF works in 157 countries and territories, providing children with what they need to survive and grow. To learn more, visit unicefusa.org or call 1-800-4-UNICEF.
PalTalk is the largest and most popular internet chat community in the world, with over 39 million registered users worldwide. There are approximately 4 million active users and between 30 and 70,000 people using PalTalk at any given time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The PalTalk support staff cover 32 basic languages and countless dialects. PalTalk is pretty much comparable to any major city in the world, the virtual online equivalent of a global community.
I'm Tim Goodrich, co-founder of Iraq Veterans Against the War. When I joined the military, I did it to serve and defend my country. At the time, I never imagined that our leadership would knowingly take us into an illegal preemptive war like the one in Iraq. I finished my enlistment, but now I am continuing my service to our country by advocating for the impeachment of George Bush and Dick Cheney. In order for democracy to flourish, we must have full accountability. Please call your elected officials today and urge them to support impeachment proceedings. We cannot wait any longer. The time to act is now.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Frank Cavastani, who, along with Ron Kovic, created the film. I guess without Ron, the film wouldn't have been where it was. Frank, you recently produced the Golden Globes, too. Congratulations. I mean, your list of...
No, I'm afraid I didn't produce them. I worked on them.
Oh, you worked on them, okay.
Yeah, a friend of mine directs them, so I just was a small part of it. But, you know, Operation Last Patrol is a documentary, and it goes along. It's like a companion piece to the movie Born on the 4th of July, which Oliver Stone made. And as I said, you know, Oliver, you know, Lillian Hellman once said, she said, feature filmmakers stand on the shoulders of documentarian filmmakers when they make their films, because they often, and I've been involved with a number of feature films, we often look at documentary films to get how the costumes look, how people spoke, what the dialogue was. And as you see, when Oliver made Born on the 4th of July, he did that too, and a lot of the dialogue in the last scenes of the movie, some of the most dramatic scenes of the movie at the convention center, are directly taken from my documentary. So that's why people should see it. But as we're speaking today, and I just heard the promo from Tim, who I know, you know, what we're trying to say is that we're falling into lockstep again with bogus intelligence, propped up a government, and, you know, a civil war that's taking place that we shouldn't take part in again. And it's going to end up the same way, but the good side of it ending up in the same way. And that's what I'd like to speak about tonight. I think we have to find some common ground. I don't know if going for impeachment of the Bush administration of, it's going to be practical, but I think there's got to be some real answers. I think one of the things is that the bloodbath that was supposed to come, I think, at the end of the Vietnam War, didn't. I mean, they did imprison and try to re-educate a lot of the people who were their enemies. But I think that when we get out of there, when we stop being the occupation force in Iraq, I think the Iraqi people are going to be able to use their military force and get rid of the foreigners that are in there and the insurgent groups that are in there and make peace between themselves and
Do you think we'll withdraw our troops, Frank?
Huh?
Do you think that we'll actually be withdrawing our troops?
I think, I go along with Murtaugh's thing. I think we have to. Look, we're going to lose this war. I feel the same way I did when I was in Vietnam, because I had an intelligence MOS over there, and I could tell that let's get out sooner, not later. We're losing this war. A war in Vietnam particularly, where in the daytime you think you run the town, and at night you all hide in armed bases, and the VC do what they want. You're not going to win that war. They own the country by night, and you pretend you have it by day. And of course, the people are terrorized because whose side they're going to take when at night they're going to be visited by...
I think what we forget many times is, you know, where does the insurgency go? They live there. They're not going to go anywhere.
No, they're not going to go anywhere, and they seem right to even some of the people who wouldn't go along with them as long
exactly.
as we continue to stay there. That's the same thing that happened in Vietnam. I mean, you would drive to a village that was supposedly friendly, and you'd look at the people, driving by in your APCs, and they'd be giving you the finger like, I'm thinking, these people don't want us here. We're not their saviors. They'll take care of themselves. They're not stupid. They'll take care of themselves. They know who the bad guys are, but there's no reason to get rid of them if the bad guys are acting like heroes and fighting the Americans, and that's exactly what we're doing again. I truly believe that, first of all, we have to go back to guarded positions, probably the bases, and begin to extricate ourselves, get out of there. Even our generals are saying, General Casey said that the other day, didn't he? He said we have to start getting out of there. Right. It's a losing thing. But it was a mistake to be there, just like Vietnam was. And there's no polite way. It's going to look bad. It's going to be a bad time when we pull out for a while. But that's the only way to get it back to normal. And as my father once said, two wrongs don't make a right. I mean, let's get out.
Frank, let me ask you something that may be construed as a bit controversial. Considering you agree that, as many of us do here on Cosmic Wave and Pal Talk, that our government and our president lied to us about the reasoning behind getting into the war in Iraq. Under that kind of understanding, knowing that, you know, all of a sudden these conspiracy theory things start to make, not to make sense necessarily, but, oh my God, why would they lie to us? What would be the purpose for them to lie to us, to get us into these perhaps never-ending wars?
I think in a sense, it is different from Vietnam. I don't think the Kennedys and Lyndon Johnson and those people back then were as corrupt and evil as the people that are here now. I mean, these people are really gangsters and bad people. In fact, Ken Lay died today. You know Ken Lay, who helped get Bush into office and was a big supporter of his. And I said to my brother, I said, see, they had a heart attack. I said, yeah, they could make it look like a heart attack. Maybe he was going to turn state's evidence against the president to get off his prison sentence. You know what I mean? I mean, it's so bad now. We've really gone from guys who were a little corrupt on the side to real criminals. These people are real criminals. They really probably threw the election their way, and they just lie about anything. This whole thing of attacking the Times for information. By the way, we all learned in Watergate, follow the money. Now, didn't everybody know that we were following the money of these of everybody? If you go put $10,000 in the bank, they report it. You know what I'm saying? So what do you mean that the New York Times released information that's going to destroy America? This is all, they're destroying the Times now, so in November, no matter what the Times says, a segment of the people are going to be brainwashed already. These people are really corrupt and really smart. This Karl Rove is a genius. And he's a genius like Goering's a genius, you know what I mean? I mean, these guys are unbelievable and very, very, very dangerous. So, yeah, I mean, we're about to lose the America we all know. We're losing it almost incrementally every day.
Well, you know, we're going to be going in a couple of minutes to our audience questions. One of the things that you are saying the very same things that we hear every single day, and through all of our guests because we are a very liberal show, and we are bringing people that we want heard, people that need that want their message sent clearly, and every one of them is saying this.
But I'd like to get a message that actually unites us again. I think we have to get united. You know, we have to be able to talk in a way so that Republicans and Democrats get together, that all this partisan backbiting, which is actually helpful, very, very helpful to the likes of Karl Rove and George Bush, and to keeping it one-sided, one-party system, as Mexico was for 75 years, we're becoming now a banana republic. We have one Congress, one court system, it's all in one party, and they have to follow the party line. So, I mean, that's not a democracy. We're a failed state, as Noam Chomsky said recently.
Exactly. And hopefully soon we'll have Noam Chomsky on our show as well. Because these are the people, these are the voices, your voice, Ron's voice, Howard Zinn, these are the, you know, Tim Goodrich, these are the voices that we need to hear. And, you know, I agree with you. I think part of the problem, and I don't know, maybe you have some insight on this, is that until we have accepted that there is actually a problem, how can we go about to develop a solution?
Well,
but and as Americans, the greatest tragedy, I think, that we have to deal with is that, in fact, this is true, and we have been lied to, and our and we have to do something. Until we accept that, that's...
Right. I know, Bosnia, the other night I turned on Fox, and it was 2 nights ago, and they had an American flag there, and under the American flag they had, "These colors don't run." Now that's directly Karl Rove speak. I mean, it's incredible that you know, it's all, you know, it's a real propaganda machine that we're dealing with. That's what I'm saying. We have to start saying things on liberal stations like yourself and on the left, things that are practical, you know what I mean? So that, you know, it's like, get out of the Iraq, but in a practical way, so that, you know, as much loss of life on the side of the Iraqi people can stop, even if that's gone. But we have to get out of there, not because we want to cut and run, because it is the sensible thing to do to protect ourselves as a nation and protect our Constitution and our country from being torn apart again, as we were during the Vietnam War.
Well, exactly, and people, listen to what we're saying here. This is it. We have to stick together, and we have to save our country. This I truly believe with all my heart.
Yeah, but that's what I like to, so yeah, I have to speak about, uniting us with the Republicans of good sense and the Democrats of goodwill. Have them, you know, vote for the same thing. But I'm tired of this backbaiting and partisanship that's dividing America. You know?
Well, you know, once, you know, what happens is once the element of distrust gets into the mix, it's
right.
Very difficult to glean who, you don't know anymore, we don't know anymore,
well, they're feeding
and we're trying
them,
to figure it out.
Well, that's why they're attacking the New York Times, because they want to attack the media.
Yes.
So everything the media says that's not like "these colors don't run," which is what Fox putting out, is not to be trusted. And then they can just do with the people are going to be putty in their hands. You know what I'm saying? They can sell them anything.
Well, I agree. John, it's time for our giveaway. You want to take over?
Yeah, I'm still here, I think.
John, I want you to talk to me, John.
Well, you know, you learn by listening first. Right?
No, but is that advice to me, John?
No, this is from my point of view. It's a way for me to get my ducks in a row here with things I wanted to say, but we do want to allow the guests in the Paltalk Virtual Auditorium to ask questions.
Absolutely.
You will hear them, and then there'll be a little pause, and you can respond. You won't be able to respond immediately as they speak. You have to wait till they finish, and then you can come up and
respond.
All
right. I'll try to
do that. We'll do that soon. We're going to have a prize giveaway right now.
Give away a copy of Operation Last Patrol. If they win, I'll send it to them myself.
Well, that's the
plan.
You
heard it, folks.
That's the plan. The DVD of Operation.
Yeah, and it has a current day, a 30-minute interview with Ron Kovic, where I interviewed him in November, in fact, last November, 30 years after I made the movie, I re-interviewed him.
What was the date of its release? When was it released?
It was November 17th of last year.
Okay.
It's a re-release, but it was originally shot and released in 1972.
Well, we're gonna connect with Frank, the person that gets in the virtual auditorium text,
okay.
And the first person to correctly answer the question, we can make it the first, or we can make it the third, or whatever. But someone else in that particular auditorium is going to be watching, and they'll see who gets it right, and then they will have the information relayed to them. We'll connect some way, and we can get it sent.
Sure, absolutely.
We can do that, and we are going to. I have my Mike, our producer, is sending me a message in text at the moment in the Paltalk room, asking me to wait for a second, and he's grabbing my attention. So hang on, just a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, anyway, let's just work through that. I want to get this question out first. I want to pose this question. If you've been here the entire program and you've been listening like I have, you know the answer automatically, and it's a very short question with a two-word answer. And let's make the third person that our moderator sees put the correct answer in the room will win a free copy of DVD of Frank Cavastani's Operation Last Patrol. So here we go. It's a quick question, quick answer. Who directed Born on the 4th of July? Who directed Born on the 4th of July? And while they work on that, we can take one quick break here. I see Carrie is in there somewhere. Let's take a quick break while we process this and see who gets this, and we'll be right back. I want to talk to Frank real briefly, and then we're going to see those hands come up in the Pal Talk room so you can come up and ask your questions. So please do that. We'll try to allot a good 15 minutes just to that. So keep your questions brief if you would, and hopefully we'll be able to get six or seven people in there before the top of the hour. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. So stay tuned.
This is Medea Benjamin. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, used illegal weapons and targeted civilians, imprisoned people without charge and allowed them to be tortured, spied on Americans without court approval, and leaked classified information. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Did you know that President Bush's No Child Left Behind Act mandates that public high schools turn over private student information to military recruiters or risk losing federal funding? Not only that, but the Pentagon has compiled a database of over 30 million young people up to age 17 for the purpose of military recruitment. You can protect your children from unwanted military recruiting by removing their names off both these lists. Find out how. Go to www.leavemychildalone.org.
Okay, we're back. We're back. People Speak. It's broadcast on Cosmic Waves Radio Network. It's also broadcast in a virtual way on Pal Talk, paltalk.com. For about the last 45 minutes, we've been speaking with Frank Cavastani. He's actually a producer who was very intimately involved in the story that of Ron Kovic, born on the 4th of July, which starred Tom Cruise. And I've been talking to him about the last 45 minutes. Basically, the big topic, as usual for this program, has been the war in Iraq. I notice it's been fluctuating around that particular issue over and over again. And Cindy Sheehan, Frank, if you're still there with us, Cindy Sheehan yesterday began the hunger strike with about 150 other people.
Oh, really?
Yes, the hunger strike began yesterday at the White House. About 150 other people are camped out, pretty much a direct confrontation of the administration's policies. And if there is one person in this country that has taken the forewithal to do something like this, it's been Cindy Sheehan. She's taken the brunt of criticism for her choice to do what she does. But criticism be damned, because let the information get out. Let her words be heard, and let her the purpose of her what she does let it be known. And
even the CIA people and many generals in our army and officers, and they all know that this is a military at least mistake, and then you know a big you know ethical kind of moral mistake, of course, but you know this. The worst thing about it is I think that the administration did it for its own personal political reasons, knowing that, you know, when we're involved in a war like that, they'll re-elect him again. And it's terrible to think that, but I think that's really why he did it. I mean, it seems like such a stupid mistake to get us involved in this kind of a war that's going to cost the lives of our men. And one of the things I wanted to talk about real quickly is there's not enough, I think, attention being paid to the Iraq veterans that are coming back that are suffering a lot. I mean, some of these guys go over there two and three times. These National Guardsmen are losing their homes and stuff. And I think they're learning that they're getting the brunt of this war, and the administration's not doing much to lift their hands and help them out. And these guys are suffering a lot. I mean, there's 18,000 wounded. We don't even know where they are. We don't even see them anymore. And a lot of it, by the way, are brain injuries, as was noted recently by Cher. But I've had a long conversation with Ron Kovic about this very topic because, you know, those IEDs blow up, and there's two or three, four guys inside those APCs, and some of them lose their lives, some of them lose a limb, but the other guys are like, you know, being rattled around like their brains are being rattled around like it's in an empty tin can, you know, and they can't even talk or know their name months later. So, and I know they're hiding a lot of this information from the American people that these guys are being harmed in this way, and I don't think enough is being paid towards that. And one of the reasons I talked to Tim from the Iraqi War Veterans Against the War, and he said that one of the reasons is these guys, of course, signed contracts. It's not like we were in the Vietnam War. We came back, we were drafted, and were citizen soldiers, so we protested en masse. These guys are leery of doing that because, one, they personally put themselves in it, and two, they signed a contract with the United States government that they, you know, do this.
I was actually going to mention that, Frank. I was going to bring that point up, that these people, the betrayal that they feel of the result of the lies that were told, the justification for an invasion of a sovereign nation, the stories that were told, when these people volunteered to swear the oath, the betrayal that they feel absolutely would be amplified because, and it would be difficult, as you
right.
said, difficult to actually become cohesive and stand together and voice
right,
opinions.
Right, exactly. I mean, you can imagine the personal trauma that these guys are going through in there. And I heard more and more of them developing the delayed stress system because it's hitting them and dawning on them. These men that go over there, innocent children as they are, even if they're in their 20s or so, and then realizing that and then blaming themselves for this, you know, terrible thing they had to take part in when their elders should not have led them down that path. You know, that's one of the things I thought when I came back. Where are the gray hairs? How did they let us take part in this? Didn't our parents know, or you know, people running our country know better than to put us in a war that was unnecessary and illegal and put the poor of our country against the poor of the Vietnamese people, as Ron Kovic said. Now it's different. Now we have these volunteers and specialists, but again, they're going to be come back and be devastated emotionally and psychologically because they're going to be feel that they have to point the finger at themselves, and then that's one of the reasons I think more of them are not speaking up.
Well, right now we're going to allow that we have two people in the virtual Pal Talk auditorium who have their virtual hands raised to ask questions. We're going to get to that in just a second. First of all, though, I want to announce that one of our friends in the virtual chat room, with a cool nickname, Ella Menapia was the third person to answer the trivia question correctly, and one of the moderators in the room made note of that and has awarded the DVD to Ella Menapia, and we will connect with you, Ella, and give you the details on how you're going to get that DVD. Right now, let's jump right into it. We have about 10 minutes or more. If you can stay a couple of minutes over the hour, we did start a little bit past the top, so if you want to move a little bit past the top of the next hour, we can do that. We have two people waiting, and the first one is nicknamed Wolfdancer55. Wolfdancer, the mic will be given to you. If you want, you can tell us your name and your general location, if you like, and then ask a brief question of our guests, and let's see if we can move this along smoothly. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Art from Pittsburgh, Vietnam veteran against the war. I saw a show, I think it was on Fox a while ago, that Ron was on with a bunch of right-wing idiots, and one of them claimed he wasn't a Vietnam vet. And, of course, later on, we had the swift voting of Kerry, Max Cleven, and now John Murtha. How do you feel about that, Frank, and what do you think we should do about it? Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, well, you know, these people are very smart, and they want to defuse any, you know, it's like what's happening now with this attack of the Times, the New York Times. And I think it's purposeful. I think it's on purpose. I think this thing on Fox where you see an American flag and it says these colors don't run. It's planned propaganda. They want to make anyone speaking out against what they want and the administration and the powers that they want the president to have, these imperialistic type powers, so that he can just run this government and this one party can stay in power forever. So they say lies. They say, you know, you're accused of being a thief, or didn't you steal this, didn't you do that? No, you were never a Vietnam veteran. It's just like people say, you know, the Holocaust didn't take place. It's, you know, it's hard to prove a negative, so, you know, but what can I say? The truth will set them free. I certainly know Ron was in Vietnam, for sure. But I know I was, for sure.
Very interesting question and answer. It's really appreciated. We want to see more. Actually, there are more people starting to put their hands up, so let's just move right along. Our next questioner is Peace Lover, and I know Peace Lover by another name. Come on up, Mike. Tell us where you are and ask your question.
Thank you, John. Welcome to the show, Frank. And I too am sorry that Ron's mother passed away and he couldn't be here with us. Maybe another day. Frank, my question to you is, I had a chance to view Operation Last Patrol, your documentary about Ron Kovic, and I know that there was some interesting things that happened in the production of that. Can you tell us about how the film would never have been produced without the help of two musicians named John Lennon and Yoko Ono? Thank you.
Yeah, well, you know, what I did to make this film, and, you know, there was so much of me that wanted to say something about, I felt so impassioned of wanting to say something about the Vietnam War. When I finished the film, I had to get it made, I had to go around finding editing rooms, carrying the film around New York, in a knapsack, actually, at times, and people would let me work for, you know, a weekend here and a few days there. And John and Yoko were kind enough to let me use their editing room that was sitting downtown and it wasn't being used at the time. So they let me use that for a number of weeks, and I was very appreciative of it.
Frank, our next person in the room in the virtual auditorium to ask a question, his name is Ziku, and Ziku I think he's across the ocean somewhere, because it takes a couple more seconds for Ziku to get back to us because of internet lag. But Ziku is a very interesting individual, and I'm actually anxiously awaiting his question. Ziku is Saudi Arabia. Go ahead, Ziku. The mic is open.
Thank you. No, I'm not Saudi. I'm a Palestinian. I'm a Palestinian. I'm proud to be a Palestinian and living in diaspora. My question to Frank is this. As an ex-fighter, you fought for America and Vietnam. I don't know if you believe by then or not, but you were a fighter. What is your opinion today after 40 years of that war? When you see the Israeli invasion on Palestine today, how do you feel as ex-fighter and as American citizen today? You can see the picture more clear in your head and in your country about what's going on outside America. To me today, as a Palestinian, my question to you is this. Do you think that we are as victims of the American existing foreign policy? Love America or hate America? To remove that picture out of our heads and correct it for us. Thank you.
Yeah, I think compared to wanting this mess in Iraq to change around, I want the Palestinian people to have peace in my lifetime. I wish that could happen. I really, really wish that could happen. That war's been going on almost 60 years now, this battle, this conflict, it's the hardest answer in the world, isn't it? Recently, I thought I was going to be settled with the troops pulling out of Gaza, and I thought maybe peace was going to come here. But, and I thought the thing was somehow to get the Americans to recognize Hamas government in some way, so that they could get some support even from Israel. But what I don't understand is, why did they kidnap the soldier? Well, what was the benefit of that? I don't understand their military tactics a lot of times. I mean, sometimes the military tactics are as nutty as the Americans invading Iraq. It seems like cutting off the nose to spite their face. So, but I would love peace to come, and I would love American policy to adjust itself accordingly so that it can, you know, have peace between the Palestinians and Israelis. That would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. Be a great Christmas gift.
It's a very delicate situation, and if we had a real direct actionable answer to that, it would have already been carried through with. I want to jump in here and add just a quick opinion about your answer to his question. Is it's hard sometimes to sift through information whether you've got a preemptive threat attack or you've got a situation that suddenly evolves into something awful really quickly, and then but there's a reaction before the sifting through the information to see exactly what happened. In a more stable situation, if someone was kidnapped, it would be more of a smaller level police investigation without actually moving in and blowing things up, because blowing things up never works. It never works. Let's move on. We have time for maybe a couple more questions. We have someone else that's in line. Botan. Botan is in. I haven't seen that nickname before. So Botan, if you would, the mic will be open to you. Tell us your name if you want and your general location or the city you live in if you want, and ask a brief question of our guest. Go ahead.
Thank you, everyone. Hello, everyone. Actually, I'm living in the United Kingdom. I'm Iraqi. Maybe not good to speak English, but I understand very good. My question is about Iraq, actually. I don't like to talk about a past like Vietnam, whatever happened. But now in Iraq, look at what's happened every day. You see how many kids dying, how many women dying, how many men dying, for nothing actually. The problem is, I think that
Now the volume level wasn't nearly loud enough for me to make out what was being said.
Yeah.
Well, sorry about that, Botan. It sounded as if you were also pretty far away, and we wanted to hopefully pull you in, draw you in.
Can you send an email with the question, and I'll answer it?
We may be able to work something out.
Okay.
Actually, as a matter of fact, we do. This is kind of whoever puts their hand up next goes next, and Ziku is back with us. Sorry about the... I never really knew where you were from, Ziku, and Dari kind of was doing a prank on me and told me Saudi Arabia, and then I should have known Palestine. I should have known that. But Ziku is in the queue again, Frank, and I think he's probably going to respond to what you said earlier. Go ahead, Ziku.
Thank you. Thank you. I told you I'm a Palestinian living in the diaspora, one day in Jordan, second day in Beirut, Syria, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, lost. You see, refugee living in the diaspora, but I'm a Palestinian. But I would like to ask Frank again. You know, I was shocked from his answer, from his question, why that soldier was kidnapped. You know, like George Bush had to say, kidnapped a soldier. How you kidnap a soldier if he is in his uniform, having a gun, shooting, and he got wounded, he had 3 bullets in his body, you think was kidnapped? If you are on a battlefield fighting with your uniform and your gun, are you kidnapped? I'm asking you, Frank, when you were in Vietnam, you were kidnapped or you were arrested as a prisoner of war. That was there in Palestinian land, shooting and killing, and he was arrested as a prisoner of war, not kidnapped. Don't fear in the trap, Mr. Frank. Thank you.
Okay, let's say he wasn't kidnapped, whatever it was, he was taken a prisoner of war, but I'm saying this back and forthness that keeps going on, I don't understand the purpose for it. How do we stop it so that it's about business, it's about money, it's about building things, it's about exchanging, it's about allowing the Hamas or Palestinian government to get money from the rest of the world, to be backed, so that their factories work, so that they have money coming in there, so the people live. That's what I want to know. What is, you know, I shoot you because you're in a uniform, and then you come in and you mess up my place with tanks, and then what is that about? Well, I don't know what it's about. What does that gain us, is what I'm saying. So I don't know what the solution is. I would love the Palestinians to have peace. I would love them to have money in the bank and jobs. You know, that's what I would like to see for them. But how would we get it? I don't know. But if you want it for me, if I were king, you know, I'd make it so nobody was shooting at anybody. And, you know, no one was getting back at anybody for anything. And just, you know, do business.
Well, you know, Frank, peace never really pays, does it, for some people?
And I think I think that
if you were to follow the money, like you mentioned earlier, and follow it to its root, because you know Henry David Thoreau said, you know, you have to strike at the root. If you don't want to hack the branches off a tree of evil, you want to strike at the root. Let's get to the root of the problems and talk about it and see if we can work it out. We have one more person in the queue to ask the question. This is actually our technician, Terry, is with us this evening. He's been lurking in the shadows. He's heard everything we've said. He hasn't said anything up to this point, but he does have a question. So we'll do one more question. After that, we're going to have to begin to close the curtain down on this program and call it an evening. Go ahead, Terry, if you are there.
Yes, sir. I was wondering if you, being in the Hollywood circles and everything, if you are familiar with the film, I guess it was produced by Aaron Russo, that's about to come out shortly here in July. It's called From Freedom to Fascism. Are you aware of that? Is there any buzz talk in Hollywood about that movie? That's my question.
Yeah, there is, but I don't know what it is. But Aaron Russo has a good reputation, and I would probably go see whatever he made. And I think Cinema Libre Studio, where which is a distributor for Operation Last Patrol, thank you for asking, is distributing that movie too. So I mean, you can go to CinemaLibreStudio.com or to DocWorkers.com and find out more about both of those films, I'm sure.
Well, thank you, sir.
I think Aaron Russo is probably taking a page out of the documentaries from, I think, the late 40s that talked about despotism and the steps of fascism and how to avoid that, and has taken that basic premise.
You know, Jonathan, I'm so happy that documentaries are becoming popular again. You know, when I first got into documentaries, it was like going into the priesthood. Everybody said, oh, you poor guy, like, you're not going to make any money, huh? I mean, it was like, but now you can make a living at it, and they're watched by people. And with all some of the directors out there and then these crazy fantasies that give you nightmares, it's so much wonderful to watch documentaries, even if they're against what you're saying, you know what I mean? If it's the other side, it's still wonderful to see something that's trying to tell the truth, at least, from their point of view.
Well, Frank, I think the time has come. The show has gone a little over an hour. And
oh, really?
Yes. And
it's so easy and so enjoyable. I love you guys. You're
well, we really want to pass the word along to Ron, and I think we can get a copy of the recording of this program along to Ron as well. And
I'm going to tell him about it, and I am sure he's going to do your show in the future. I can almost assure you of that.
Well, great.
Wonderful.
Great. And Basma, it's been a pleasure once again, as usual. Carrie, I really appreciate your very hard work that you do for us, volunteer-wise. Very appreciated.
Do I have to send a DVD of Operation Last Patrol to somebody? Let me know who. I'll do it.
Well, hang out. If you don't mind, we'll hang out here in this voice chat after we close the program, and we can discuss
sure.
what we need to do with that, just for a couple
All
of
right.
minutes. We don't want to go too long. But I think the time has come now for us, once again, to close another edition of The People Speak. This broadcast has been sent through the airwaves on Cosmic Waves Radio. You can go to cosmicwavesradio.com and check it out. We will have an archived copy of the recording of this program available, and that will be at thepeoplespeak.org, I think. I'll have to check on that. We'll get back to everybody on that. I think the address has kind of changed lately or something like that. But we will archive this program on the Internet, and we want to say good evening at this point. And Basma,
well, before we do
you.
That.
before we do that, we want to remind everybody that next week our guest will be a Native American actress by the name of Tantu Cardinal, who played the wife of the medicine man in Kevin Costner's film Dances with Wolves. So everybody come back next Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. And Frank, it has been a great pleasure. It has been wonderful. We really enjoyed this. It was a lot of fun.
Good. I hope it went well for you. I really do.
Very informative. Thank you.
Very, very good discussion, Frank. Great audience questions as well.
Right.
We're going to go ahead.
A tough one in the end, but the nail made in me.
Yes.
I would love the Palestinians to have the best life in the world. You know, and I read recently how their own factories and people are moving to Egypt and things because of this continued mess. You know, people started new businesses in the last year, can't continue them. It's really sad.
Something about war usually does that to people, but thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And good night, everyone. Good night, Frank, Carrie. Good night,
okay.
Maxima. Mike, our producer. Good night, everybody. We'll see you again next week on The People Speak. And go ahead and get Annie DeFranco up here to sing the closing song tonight.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the city long by the rolling water, I saw my baby fall, and they stood there hungry when I stood there wondering how this man was made for you and me.